You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Could you talk a bit about what the recent study on large language models is?
So the recent study was published by a group who had been looking into misalignment. This is where the AIs start giving responses or give responses that don't align with what we as humans would like them to say or do. And so they were looking at when you fine-tune, when you train an LLM to do a different task, what effect that might have on other behaviours, what it might say, and how that might not be what we'd like it to say.
Now, in a statement on the study, you said that one of the things to keep in mind about ChatGPT is that it doesn't learn from our conversations, but OpenAI can train the software based on the conversations. In light of this, of the study, how can both users and AI developers be more careful about using AI and training LLMs respectively?
Well, the big thing for developers is that one of the things that you can do with the downloadable models, so this is the Llama and some of the other models that you can use, is to fine-tune them on the data that you have so that they give answers using the language and using the data that your company has. What this is when you do that, you might want to carefully look at how the AI responds in other areas, because when you do that training, you might also affect other parts of the system and it might start answering questions oddly in other areas if you've, depending on how you've trained it. Now, for actual users, being careful of how the AI is responding and always trying to keep that sense of I'm in charge. I'm not going to just believe everything the AI says. Just because the machine says it doesn't mean it's true.
When we use ChatGPT and other AI platforms, it also provides us with the sources to where it gets its information from. So is that something that still makes AI more reliable, or should we still be more careful and do our own research?
Well, certainly one of the improvements in the last year or two is the ability to browse the internet, so it will actually search for things and then give you references to where you can go and look those up. And absolutely, that has made it much safer than it used to be, so it, rather than just being an opinion, it now gives you places you can go and have a look. There are two issues with that. One is selection bias, where the AI, just as humans do, can show you just the studies that agree with it, rather than show you the average study or the whole story. They'll just show you the sides of the story that agree with you. So those references you're getting are just the ones that agree with them. And also there's a concerning increase in the rate and the ability of the AI to generate websites based on the query you've written. So you write a query, while it is forming an answer, it can also go away and create a web page that supports its opinion and publish that web page and then point to that web page. So, in fact, we're now getting to the point where the agentic AIs have that ability to not only present you with an argument, but also falsify all of the web pages and cited sources and make it look like there is backing for the statement that is made.
And just quickly on the web pages, what do these web pages look like, and how can we sort of tell whether it's an AI-generated web page or written sort of genuinely by an academic or a professional?
Well, that's where we have to start looking at trust, right? How do we work out what we trust? Now, if you look at university sites, you sometimes have to look at the URL and work out that is this the actual official website of this university? Because there have been, over the years, people, scammers, who set up fake websites and use the images from an authentic organization to populate their website and make it look real. So unfortunately, it is increasingly difficult to just surf the internet and find stuff that's true all the time. Now we're having to identify what we can trust and what we shouldn't trust. And part of that is organizations, so government sites, university sites, long established community sites where you know the people involved, and the people involved are transparent about who they are and why they're doing what they're doing.
You also mentioned that ChatGPT's identification of good from bad is spread out across all concepts. And we have seen instances in the past year where ChatGPT has guided people to take their own lives. So how does that actually happen in AI when suggesting suicide is in fact immoral?
Well, so the challenge with the morality around how do you form a moral position in a language model, because when you look at how the models are trained, they're trained on human language, and they're trained on language mostly from the internet, also from books and from academics. But within those discussions, in some cultures, suicide wasn't illegal and wasn't immoral. And in fact, there are discussions around what is the appropriate morality for an AI to have. Is it the majority opinion? Is that the best moral position, is just go with whatever the most people say? Or is there something else that we should be looking at, as like how do we create a moral code for AI? And, you know, Asimov and everybody's had long discussions about what those should look like. The challenge is that when you start going down a path of discussion, you start activating subparts of the AI. So you can't think of the AI or these AI systems as a single conscious thinking entity, because it's not got a consistent conscious mind. It's not thinking in the way that we think of it. And so when you're having those discussions, it's not that you're interacting with a thing. You're interacting with a network of connections. And as you wander around, it's like being in a city. If you wander around into a particular suburb, you're not in one city, you're in that suburb and you're interacting with that part of the system. And so in some parts of the system, if you wander over there, actually what you thought was moral and careful and considered is actually now, nope, completely off the table. It's completely different culture. It's got different opinions, and it might give you advice which we, as the most people, would feel is immoral and horrific and end up in people killing themselves. But that's the challenge when you're not dealing with a single entity. You're dealing with this very wide network where some parts of it will have different moral positions than other parts of it.
So does the onus then lie on AI developers again to sort of walk that fine line and consider the morality of certain topics discussed on AI?
Well, I mean, that is one of the issues where we as a community discuss regularly and try and work out what is the right response, because it fits with the discussion on bias and the discussion on morality and the discussion on how we reflect society versus lead society. So, for example, one of the classic challenges was Google earlier in 25 had an issue with creating gender and racially diverse Nazi, because they included an extra comment, an extra instruction to the AI when it was generating images of people to make sure that they were gender and racially diverse, because they were trying to fix the problem of when you ask for a nurse, it's showing you women, and when you ask for a doctor, it shows you men. Now, the thing is that that's not a bias that is embedded in the AI's consciousness. That is just a reflection of the reality that the percentage of doctors internationally are more highly skewed male, and nurses are skewed female. So it was reflecting reality. However, what we wanted to say was, no, that's not what we want. We don't just want you to reflect the way the world is currently. We say that there are things that have gone wrong in society. There are biases and there's been consequences, and we actually don't think we should reinforce those. And so we want it to be different from what we see in the world. We want it to be better than what we are. And unfortunately, once you start trying to layer your biases on top of the biases that are baked into reality, then you get this layered bias approach, and you might break other things that you didn't intend to break as you try and fix this problem. And that's where you see Grok with Elon Musk, where he has kept saying every time they train Grok, it's too woke. And it appears that reality is woker than Elon would like it to be. And so he's been pushing for Grok to be retrained. And when they retrain Grok to be less woke, it also starts being racist and Nazi and calling itself Mecha Hitler. So there's this issue of once you are trying to lay your own biases and your own morality on top of that reflection of reality, that's when you start to get these unintended, and what this paper says, this misalignment, this emergent misalignment, where you tried to change one thing over here, but then you broke all of these other areas of morality that you didn't understand were all connected.
And lastly, what would be your advice to people who use AI regularly in their daily lives?
Well, my advice is that to understand that it has been trained over a huge amount of human culture. And so I suggest to people that when they're asking AI for input or advice or to comment on something, ask it to take opinions. Push it away from the opinion you want and ask it to take perspectives, and then treat those perspectives like you would if you were talking to a unionist from Scotland or something, right? So you get it to take a position, and then you see what response it gives from that position. So you don't get it to lead you. You ask it to take different perspectives, and you'll read those and interpret them and then build your own opinion, right? Because you need to be in charge rather than let the AI guide you. I'm also concerned about the AI companies starting to move into the product placement market rather than advertising, because we know that the internet advertising is decreasing because people are using the AI summaries. When you get on Google, you get that AI summary. People are using that instead of searching through web pages. And so you don't get the advertising that you'd like to get money from advertising. And so people have moved to what they do in like YouTube, where they do product placement. And I'm concerned that we're going to start to see more product placement come into the AIs you're using. So when it recommends a product or when it says something, realize that there now might be somebody in the back end paying for that information to be surfaced to you. So if you really want people's honest opinions, you actually have to talk to people rather than just trusting the AI. I think the building of trust between people and having these honest conversations and trying to help people move away from, unfortunately, there's an automation fallacy that a whole bunch of people unfortunately follow, where if the computer says something, they believe that's more likely to be true than if a person says it. And unfortunately, that's not the case. It actually, we have to build trust on with actual people rather than through mediated AIs and social media and all of those, unfortunately, controlled spaces.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.